Please turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 6, a very well-known passage of Scripture. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts that I think are very important as you move on in hearing the call, I think is it, and paying the cost. What was the title we had? Answering the call and counting the cost. Well, we probably have to put it the other way around because you're better off counting the cost before you answer the call. Amen. So I'd say to you, I'm talking to the graduation class this morning. And, you know, Jesus said, before you build that house, you better know that there's going to be a cost extracted for it. You do not want to be humiliated halfway through this walk here. If you are not called by the Lord to go full-time into the harvest field, don't go. That's what I would say to you. You'll incur humiliation. But this morning, you know the voice of God. Let nothing, let no preacher take it from you. Let no person take it from you. You know the direction God's bringing you in to serve Him. Nothing will get in the way of that. You trust Him to the very, very end. Amen. Let's look from verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites and the people of the east, and they would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leaving no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land and destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of the Lord cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of the Lord cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." And an angel of the Lord came and sat under the Tenebit tree, which is Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, which his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" The Midianites, the title of this is Fruit Overshadowed by Compromise. Fruit overshadowed by compromise. The Midianites oppress Israel. You see, sin will always get you into a hole. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a member of a congregation. If there's compromise in your life, you're going to end up in a cave. You're going to end up in a den. You're going to end up like Israel did. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. And they made for themselves the dens and the caves and the strongholds in the mountains. You know, sin always drives you into a hole. It always drives you away from God. It always drives you to a place of despair. And Israel had taken on much of the, it had already compromised its spiritual walk by adopting a lot of the practices of the religious people around them of their time. You know, the nations around them had adopted some of its religious practices, and sometimes nearly all of it, and compromised along the way. And they were spiritually and morally compromised. They had adopted this, just like the church today. You're going to go into a church, or you're going to go into churches, you're going to leave here, and you're going to have to go into the real politique of what the church is facing. And you're going to see, just like in the time of Gideon, you're going to see churches that have adopted the things of the world around them. You're going to see that compromise all around you. And as a result, you know, the church is in a hole. You're going to see that. The church most certainly is in a den today. It's in a cave. It's not like a city built upon a hill like Jesus said it should be. It's not like a lamp that should be standing in a proud place giving light to people's direction. But now the church has recoiled because of sin. Compromise will always rob the benefit of the Word of God. It really will. Compromise will always take that. Every time Israel would try and do something, I've seen churches, I've seen ministries try to produce life in the midst of compromise. See, here they are. They're in a den or in a hole. They're in a problem. So they come up with a new solution. They come up with a new 3-point plan, or they come up with a new program. Someone's brainchild to get us out of the hole, to get us out of the problem. We're stuck in the mud. And every time Israel would try to do this, the Midianites would come up, and they had the whole policy of the scorched earth. They would leave nothing behind them. The Midianites were trying to perpetually keep the people of God weak. And that is the strategy of the devil. The strategy of the devil is to try to keep the church and every Christian minister perpetually weak. And how he does it is that he always finds where the compromise is, and he always moves in on that compromise. And this is where the nation, no matter how much you want to answer the call, and no matter how much you want to see souls saved, if there is compromise in your life, the devil will drive a horse and carriage up and down it, and will keep you perpetually weak. Perpetually weak. You're still a Christian. Oh yes, you are. But you are never. You're there. Every time Israel would sow, Midian would come up and destroy it. I don't know about you, but I've seen it for years in the church. We would have some of the most great, powerful preachers, powerful messages come, powerful encouragements from the Lord come to the pulpit, touch the heart of the church, only to have the power drained away because of the compromise in the life. Israel was greatly impoverished, but they cried out to the Lord. Yeah, we thank God. I've witnessed, I'm dealing with a situation. I had a young man with me, and he went on a mission trip with me, and God used him mightily in that mission trip. And 3 months later, he committed adultery in his wife, and embezzled nearly over €150,000 out of his company. 3 months later, went from here to here. And I couldn't understand it. I saw God use this young man. There was no doubt about it. God moved upon him. And I spoke to him. I said, was this mission trip you were there a couple of years ago, was it a lie? Was it just something that you were putting on? He said, no. He said, I've never experienced anything like it in all my life. And I asked the Lord, I said, why then 3 months later did he go from here to here? How is that possible? And the Lord said, I gave him my glory. I showed him what it was like if he would only yield to me. But because he didn't put the compromise out of his life, I lifted my glory off him. Now I'm going to show him what he's like without my glory in his life. See, the area of compromise. I believe we have to bring a message to the latter-day church that we have to eradicate the compromise out of it. We have to bring that message. They cried out to the Lord. And God sent them a prophet. Sent them a preacher. Praise God. God has never finished with his church. I want to tell you right now, there's been times I've been finished with it. Man, I've written off pastors. I've written off ministries. I've written off denominations. I've written off even people in my own congregation. I've written them off. But God has shown me, hey, he's never written off any man. He hasn't even written off denominations. He has not forsaken his people. God will let things happen because he needs to bring them to a place where they depend upon him again. And he didn't, thank God, the scripture says he has not dealt with us according to our sin. I hope you can say amen this morning. You may be able to point to other churches and other failures around you, but God hasn't dealt with you according to your sin. God knows your heart, and God knows the pride of your heart, and God sees the areas, and yet he loves you and is compassionate for you. How much more for the person sitting in front or behind you? God has written no man off. And he sent him a preacher. And the preacher simply comes to remind them of what the Lord has done. All he did was remind, I'm the Lord God who brought you out of the land of bondage. I've given you this land. And all he did was remind them of all that he had done. He encouraged them. This is always the heart of God. To go and remind people, to recoil what God has done. To bring back again a focus to the church. You see, when you are up against a situation, you can try to bring wisdom. You can try to bring a way out to people. But the only way is to remind them of the gospel. That's the only answer we have. We don't have Mr. Freud's thinking. We don't have the psychology. We don't play mind games. We don't try to sit down and try to have a clever two-shoes approach to how to get a man out of trouble. We simply bring him back to the old message. That's all you can do. I'm telling you, there's no other solution. Freud doesn't work. Psychology doesn't work. Counseling doesn't even work. But when you start to recoil in a man's heart, all that God has done, when you start to go back 2,000 years ago to where the love of God was demonstrated without question, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you start to bring people back to such love, and you begin to bring them back to the sacrifice of Christ and the mercy of God, I'm telling you, that's the only place where faith can be sparked. The only place. There's no other message. You can try, oh, you can have all these platitudes. Oh, you know, you'll see a better day. Oh, this will pass. You can do, and they're all good things, they're fine, but they mean nothing until you bring them back to the reality of the gospel. And the preacher comes in. And the prophet tries to build faith, and he tries to point out the compromise. You haven't obeyed my voice. I've showered my love in you, but there's a compromise. There's a lack of obedience in you. There's an area of your life. And I want you to see this picture. Here is Gideon now. Gideon is threshing wheat in the winepress. I want you to see a picture of this man. He's like your typical member of any church. He's just come from the prayer meeting. He's just come from the midweek service. He heard what the prophet had to say, but in his heart, he doesn't believe it. In his heart, he sees the decay of the church. He sees the moral decline of his times. He sees what they have become, both as a civilization and as people. And he's tried to work out, he's trying to graft out some sort of existence. But he's doing it in the midst of a compromise. I don't know if you can see the picture here. He's left the prayer meeting and he's opened a bottle of wine. He's trying to read his Bible. You know, I think it was Calvin. Years later in Geneva again, when they set up that city, the times that they organized the church on the Sunday morning was originally 9 o'clock. It wasn't 11 o'clock, it was 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock was the first Geneva church for the Reformed Church, and 9 o'clock is when everybody had to be in church. But he put it back to 11 o'clock because of his wine drinking the night before. Didn't know that now, did you, in history? It's a compromise. And here you have Gideon. There's no doubt about him. His aspirations are righteous. He wants to provide for his family. He wants a better day for his nation. He's trying to beat out the wheat. He's trying to get some sort of bread. He's opening up the Bible. But there's an obvious compromise in his life. And I tell you, I've preached the gospel, and I've heard it preached from great preachers and great men. I've seen its effects touch genuinely the life of people in my church and my own life. But we never dealt with the compromise. The prophet came. He heard him, Gideon heard him, and then the Lord comes to him, a theophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament comes to him, and he says to him, he calls him a mighty man of valor. In actual fact, he says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. That's what most of your translations say, but in actual fact, that's a mistranslation of the scripture. The one translation of the Bible that gets it right here is the old RSV. In actual fact, what he says, the Lord is with thee as a mighty man of valor. You hearing me? Ain't no mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. That puts a whole different spin on the scripture. The Lord is with thee as a mighty man of valor. There is no great men. There is no great women. There's only a great God and a great gospel. I'm telling you, when a man thinks he's something, the Bible says, be careful. You don't own the words that come out of your mouth. They're his words. You didn't pen this book. You didn't pay for anybody's sin at the cross. This is not your message. This is his message. This is his love demonstrated. You are just the mouthpiece, amen. Surrender to him out of love. Surrender to him because you love him. You've made your body accessible for him to use. You've given him your heart. But I want you to see here, Gideon, he's threshing. This is so apt for our times. You go in and you preach the gospel. But we must talk to the people. If they hear the word, if you are here this morning and you are trying to answer the call of God in your life, but there is an area of compromise in your life, you will stay in the winepress. And all you and yours will live on is bare subsistence. You will always be in a hole. You will always be in a cave. You may have a little bit more one day than the other day, but there's going to come a time where you have to get out of the winepress. You have to get out. You have to get out of that place. You can't do it your way. This gospel, this race, this walk must only be walked one way. It's his way. It only works one way when we work it his way. We can't take our own approach to it. It's either all or nothing. It's not even 90%. It has to be 100%. You give the enemy 1% of compromise in how you walk your life as a Christian, he will find it. He will come in. He will rob you of your call. He will rob you of the fruit. You will live the rest of your life. All right, you'll always read the Bible. You'll always be beating a little bit of bread out of it. But it will never be enough to get you and your family out anywhere. It will never change the nation. It will be there all the time. And there was a battle in the heart of Gideon. He heard the preacher, but there was compromise, was just weakening. It was like bleeding him. It was hemorrhaging him. It was taking away the life. He's living in a compromised state. And God comes to him again. Praise God for the mercy of God. Praise God that us preachers, if anybody, we should be the first, as the Apostle Paul said, I was a prince of sinners. We have been benefactors of the mercy of God more than anybody in the church. Most of our congregations, they sin out of, there's ignorance there, there's bad upbringing, there's a lack of direction, they don't know what we know. They don't have the rudimentals of what you've been taught for 3 years. They don't understand the value of time with God. They don't even know their Bible. They don't even know how to budget their money. They don't know how to rear their kids because of a lack of knowledge. The Bible says the people are perishing. But look at us here today. We've come distances with God, read the Word of God, sat under the presence of God, and yet, knowing the holiness and the righteousness of God, we are of all men the benefactors of grace. Every one of us. We have a heightened sense of morality, a heightened sense of spirituality. Why? Because God has shed abroad His love in our hearts. We of all people here should be able to say, I am nothing other than a benefactor of mercy. And if God has made me a benefactor of mercy, I'm going to show mercy. Hallelujah. The prophet came and he preached. Gideon left the church meeting, entered into the wine press of compromise. He had managed to beat up a few scriptures. Maybe pray at night time just before he fell asleep. Maybe the odd time give a Bible story to his children. But as long as he was in that place of compromise. See, we go out to a church and it's full of compromise. Watching soap operas on television. I don't know if you have that over here, but it's just full of fornicators and full of immorality. And we're glorifying it on the media. Magazines. Compromise is everywhere. See, if you're going to answer the call, the cost is that you're going to have to deal with the compromise. There's other costs, but this is the one area the Holy Spirit has put in my heart here. You could preach your best message when you go out from here and leave here. But if the church doesn't understand the rudimental here, if you leave this area, the devil will sift away any good that comes from this pulpit. Oh, I'm telling you. He'll take any good that comes from this pulpit. Gideon had to get out of that wine press. And I'm telling you, when he began to see the mercy of God come to him a second time, you know the story, he went off and he brought his sacrifice of praise to God. Get rid of the compromise, get out of it. Develop a walk of praise and prayer. That's what he did immediately. He got out of that wine press. He went, he got that goat. He fixed some an ephod of flour and he brought that goat. He brought it to Christ. He offered the best of what he had. He brought it in praise and prayer to him and God touched it. You get rid of that compromise. You develop the walk of prayer and praise. Then you start to take down the idols in your life. Now, when I'm talking about the idols in your life, you are called to preach the gospel. Amen. Anything else, be they boyfriends or girlfriends, that distract you is an idol. Anything from the lack of finances to the desire to money, to desire whatever it is in your life that is going to try and take away the service for God, you need to do what Gideon did. You need to take that idol down. You need to show it no quarter. I want to tell you that the devil will show you no quarter. He will not show you. He get away into your life. I'm telling you, man, I see you with this young man. He got away into this young man's life. He experienced the glory of God. But you know what was in this young man's life? For 20 odd years of his life, 26 years old now he is, for 26 years of his life, was a habitual liar. Could never tell the truth. He loved God. I'm absolutely convinced he was saved. But he had a problem. He had such a fear of man. He could never tell the truth. It was easier to tell a bit of a porky. You understand? And easier to do all these things. And all the time that compromise, the devil saw it. Drove a horse and carriage through it. Now we're looking at a terrible situation. I've seen ministries. I've seen men and women of God. I've heard and seen great preachers, far greater than I'll ever be, preached a message that would convict, but there was a compromise in their life. And a folly. To think that the devil won't exploit it. And we end up running into the fray, ill prepared, not ready, Or we need to find ourselves to incur terrible loss. That's where you must be on your guard for church. That's where you must set up a guard. You must get rid of that compromise. Develop the walk of prayer and praise. Take down the idols. God's called you to preach. I don't care if she's pretty or he's handsome. If they're not in with that vision, they're not for you. Amen? That's not the life we're called to. If you have to stay celibate, then we have to do that. I said that this morning to our young folk. I said, if we have to live that sort of life, well, that's the life we must live. There's far greater things than the comfort of a husband or a wife. It's the comfort of knowing that you're walking in the will of God. It's the comfort of knowing it. I want to tell you, I know plenty of happily married husbands and wives, and praise God for happily, but they don't know the comfort you and I will know. I'm telling you, the sweet of the songs in the night, you may not turn into anybody, but you would have a song in your heart. He'll give you a song in the night. He'll give you a comfort and a joy. It must be a place you must go to. You must cut off every idol that will take you from the vision. Cut it down. You must cut the head off it. I don't know what used to help me a lot before I met my beautiful wife, when I knew this girl wasn't the right girl. Not my wife, but another girl. After a while, there was a girl I liked, and I had to literally find things I disliked about her. Her ears were too small. Her nose was too big. I don't know what it was. Whatever works for you, cut it out of your life, okay? Rely on the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Gideon did. Got rid of the compromise, developed a walk of prayer and praise. He took down the idols that would try to detract him from what God had for his life. That's what he did. And then he began to rely that if this life is going to be lived, it's going to be lived only supernaturally. God is going to have to do it. God himself will have to provide the power to beat this enemy. And I want to say to you in closing, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. Hold on. God's not a man that he would lie. He doesn't set you up for a fall. He set up his own son for the fall. He wants you to walk in the victory of Calvary. He wants you to walk in the victory of the resurrection. Oh, the vision awaits in the appointed time. Though it tarry, doesn't matter. You still wait for it to happen. God is faithful. 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 Faithful.